Welcome. Well, you are at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, you know, I didn't get to say, and I usually always say this.
Well, you're going to say it.
After Easter, I like to quote beautiful Saint John Paul. He used to say this, but I found out the other day, I think it was from Matthew Bunsen, that another saint had said it before.
So two saints have said it. This must be
two
good.
Two saints have said it.
What
I'm
going
to say it. I hope I don't mess it up. So it says, we are an Easter people, and hallelujah is our song. Now, the beautiful part of that is in the midst of this time where Divine Mercy Sunday, coming off of Easter, the death of Pope Francis, there is so much. But at the same time, we're joyful, we're sorrowful, and that's how we are as a people, right? And we're moving on this journey, trusting, believing that Jesus has everything under control.
Yeah.
I believe it.
As somebody has said it, our spirituality is a joyful sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Even our sorrow is joyful. We do have sorrow this side of heaven, but we have a joy, and a joy is a byproduct mm-hmm. of faith in divine mercy, who has a face. Jesus is the mm-hmm. face of God's mercy. So we face so many sorrows in this world, but we do it joyfully. It's not just an emotion, it's a way. We're in the Lord. He's going to take care of everything.
It's real. Well, we're thrilled to be welcoming award-winning author Greg Mayo to our show today. Greg has spent years speaking to groups around the country about recovery, authentic masculinity, men and abortion, and how to reclaim an authentic relationship with God. So he is a member of the Fatherhood Commission and the National Coalition of Ministries to the Men's Speakers Bureau. And he's the author of a great book that we had Greg on 2 years ago that we highlighted, mm-hmm. Almost Daddy. And his newest book, Unraveled Roots for Men, Four Causes of Damaging Behavior. And today he's here to speak with us about his newest book, Unraveled Roots for Men. And to learn more about Greg, visit his website, gregmayoauthor.com.
Great. Well, talk about being right at the center of the needs in our society mm-hmm. and the renewal of true masculinity, the healing of wounds. You know, we always think of the women and abortion, men who've been involved in abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's going to, well, abortion may be one of the worst symptoms of difficulties, but it's not the root.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he's saying. He's saying there are other roots that are within us, most of them coming out of our childhood experiences, and he'll name those, you know, four areas. And so we compensate it, we do other things and so on, and it results in you know, addictions and codependency and distorted sexuality, abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying we need to get to the roots. If we could just be healed in those roots, to be far less abortions and difficulties and problems that mm-hmm. we have, and how men need to hear this message, how men need to be targeted. We run to the women as well, all that they're going through, but men need to be healed. Men need to be leaders. Men need to be protectors and providers and good listeners and so on, but we can't do that because we're so broken
mm-hmm.
and we don't make the time to say, well, what are the roots of this bitter fruit
mm-hmm.
that's coming out of me?
And my brokenness.
And Greg's, you know, mm-hmm. kind of going over that. He's giving us opportunity to look at some things. And he says, hey, this is a journey, but let's begin the journey.
Mm.
So this is a special show for everyone, especially for men at this time. Unraveled Roots, Four Causes of Damaging Behavior, EWTNRC.com. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Greg Mayo. He's the author of a new book called Unraveled Roots for Men. Well, we are excited to have you back again. And we had you back again because we believe in you and we know the ministry that God is using through you and your effectiveness in the lives of recovering and restoring and renewing men. So we're excited to have you. So first, we want you to tell our family a little bit about Greg, get us caught up since the last time you were on, and then we're going to talk about your book.
Yeah, so first of all, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
Yes.
But I'm so excited to be back and to talk about this new book. But my work centers around helping men. After 20 plus years of marriage, I don't know how women think, so I just focus on guys, right? And my wife would agree, but it started with the abortion healing stuff. And then I realized the more men I talked to and the more I continued on my own journey of not only psychological but spiritual growth and healing, that there's more to the story. Mm-hmm. It's not just one thing, right? And so I thought, what are the main things that lead to the abortion crossroad, if you will? And decided to put a book together and a study about that. Now, the next thing will probably be about what happens after, because God is so gracious and good that when we scrape off one layer of muck, He allows us to see what the next thing is. Mm-hmm. But He doesn't give us it all at once, right? And so the journey is never ending. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. It keeps us in pursuit of Him. It keeps us vulnerable and weak, which is how He likes us. Because when we're in that place where He's restoring us and renewing us and He's making us holy. And so, like in your book, you say that this is the beginning, right? It's never, it's like, okay, I read that book, I'm good. Or I went to that counselor, I took this 9-week course, I'm good. You know? No, it's constant, the journey, because there's always more truth. There's always something else to be revealed to us that's hidden in the recesses of our souls, as you find with little boys, right? Some of the things happened, just damaged relationships that they had with their fathers.
And when I speak in front of audiences or do Q&As in front of audiences, I always preface with saying, this is what I think I know today, or this is what I've learned so far. Yeah. It's not feigned humility, it's real humility that comes from working on yourself. When you're conscious of your own need for healing, for grace, for forgiveness and all that stuff, it makes it really hard to judge other folks, number one. And number two, it spurs you on to the next thing. I always joke when I got through abortion healing, I was seeing a counselor and a pastor at the same time, not in the same room, but you know, during the same time. And I got in touch with something and I was talking to the counselor about it and he said, oh, you have high functioning anxiety. And I said, what's that? And he listed it and explained it. And I said, well, everybody doesn't walk around like that. But God took it that time, 4 years into healing, to show me, okay, here's the next thing we need to work on. Well, where's that anxiety come from? Well, then I went back into my childhood. What happened there? And it's not, the other thing people need to understand is I have childhood issues. Most people do. It doesn't mean I had a bad childhood.
Right.
It doesn't mean my mom and dad were evil people. It's not that dramatic. But we have stuff we need to work on, right? And so that's what the book's about. That's what the next thing is.
I think of a definition that I read some time back, and it's always very helpful for me, and it's the definition of sanity. And this person said, sanity is being in touch with your past, but not living there. Having hope for the future, but you're not there, and living in the now. Being in touch with the past, not living there, having hope for the future, but you're not there, but living in the now. So all those things have to be congruous to some degree.
Yep.
And the problem is so many of us are dealing with symptoms that are coming out. We just don't, it's insanity, because we're not in touch with the past. You know, we don't understand the past. We don't want to live in the past, but we are in a sense, because we can't be healed of the past. It's coming out now in the present.
Right.
And we don't have much hope for the future. That's insanity. So all those parts have to be congruous. And that's what you're saying. You went through and you continue to go through. You state again and again in your book, you know, this is a journey, you know, and it's a journey of hope, God wants to give you all that you need. There's seasons and times for every purpose in your life until you pass on, and he's doing this continual work of healing.
And that, with guys, it's different than women, right? Women are so much more willing to talk about what they're struggling with and whatever. With guys, it's like we play emotional whack-a-mole. An emotion comes out, and we're like, I don't want to deal with that. Smack it back down. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is those emotions and past traumas and past experiences, they start eating us from the inside. Mm-hmm. So to your point, if we're not at least in touch with what's back there, then we can't possibly heal today, and therefore what we do today affects tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It's this almost like mystical kind of journey, right? You're on a journey. I tell guys all the time, you're on a journey right now. Yeah. It's just right now you have no direction.
Right. And the problem is you are an authentic wounded healer. That's who you are. I mean, you really are. And what happens is when other men see that, they can trust you. They could say, okay, that what he's saying, I believe, you know? And they can identify that where you've been, and they can identify it, and which then hopefully will trigger and release some of their pain and their sorrow and their misery. And so when you discovered this, when you said, aha, these are four other things that have damaged the child within, how did you go about discovering that and then wanting to write a book on it?
Well, so there's a couple different layers to that, right? I was involved in my 20s in ACOA, Adult Children of Alcoholics. My father, when he left his second wife, moved back to the town I lived in. I was a teenager. And he said, you should go to Alateen. And I said, what is it? And he said, it's for kids of alcoholic parents. My drinking probably messed you up.
Wow.
See, my dad brought generational trauma by him and mom divorcing and him leaving. He started to bring generational healing by introducing me to recovery, right? So, and that's an important thing. Generational trauma can turn into generational healing. Anyway, I had the background in the recovery stuff, if you will. And when I was working with Support After Abortion, they had an Unraveled Roots written by women, geared toward women. And a lot of PRCs, Pregnancy Resource Centers, for those that, they were using the book. It's a 6-week study. But we kept getting conversations, questions, and concerns from guys. Like, I want something that makes sense to me. And so we sat down with the idea of, let's take this concept and let's focus on the things that impact guys. Excuse me. And let's write this book in a way that will resonate with men. Because you're right, there's a level of authenticity that men connect with, whether they're conscious of it or not. I can't tell you the number of times in the last 15 years I've spoken at a crowd, and a guy's walked up to me and said, hey, look, I've never told anybody this, but... Well, it's not because I'm an incredible orator. It's because I shared a story authentically, and they're like, well, I can trust this guy. I'll go share my story. So it's the same kind of thing that came around that book. So we talk about abandonment.
Right.
Abandonment's a big thing. And all you got to do is look at the stats on fatherlessness in this country. It's an absolute epidemic. You are statistically over 50% a chance that you're going to grow up without a dad in the home if you're born today. That's a huge thing. There's no man intentionally showing the way. And so what you end up with is a thing that I started calling shadow masculinity. It's, I'm going to dress the right way and get the right tattoos and grow my beard and all the things. It's right. It's just a show, though, because you have no idea. The other thing is a rise in gang activity. If you don't have a dad, there's still going to be a male hierarchy some kind of way. So abandonment, that's a big thing. And we talk about there's all kinds of abandonment. It's not just dad's not there physically, emotionally abandoned.
He could come home every night, but you could be emotionally abandoned by him.
Right.
Because he never says anything to you. There's no connection. There's no emotional connection with your father.
Right. When I grew up in high school, I envied a buddy of mine. His parents were married. And I used to hate that. Like, I'd go over there on Sunday and they'd all have dinner together. And I'm like, what's this like? And I really envied it. And then as I got older and started learning a bit more, what I realized was his dad would come home from work, have dinner, but then he'd go out in the garage and tinker on his motorcycle. He wasn't available. He wasn't intentionally leading the way, providing those life lessons that a kid needs. John Eldridge, in his book Wild at Heart, talks about that 11 to 14 age group in a boy. And how if a man isn't there to lead him intentionally, he's set up for disaster. So again, you can abandon your children and still be in the home. Mm-hmm. Then there's a workaholic dad. And so there's all these different layers to abandonment, but that's one of the areas that we cover. And then we go into abuse. Now, Jim, you and I talked about this earlier. In this country right now, 1 in 5 boys will experience physical abuse by the time they're 18. Mm-hmm. 1 in 7 will experience sexual abuse. We don't talk about that, right? We don't talk about it enough in the church. We don't talk about it in school, so kids get help. But so there's abuse. There's also religious abuse. Mm-hmm. The church I grew up in, I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't understand Christ wanted a relationship mm-hmm. with me. God was just a mad bully mm-hmm. that I could never please. That's abuse. And so when my teen years hit and I started having problems, did I turn to God? No, because mm-hmm. I was scared of God.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's a healthy fear of God, don't get me wrong. Right, but I didn't have that. I was scared God would smite me at any moment. Mm-hmm. So we talk about some other kinds of abuse, and we talk about growing up in a home with addictions, mm-hmm. which is another big thing. And finally, I just had lunch with a pastor a couple weeks ago in Indianapolis, and he said, you know, we're finally able to start talking about opiate crisis and drug addiction mm-hmm. in the church. Mm-hmm. And I said, I agree, what changed? He said, oh, that's simple. Heroin made its way to suburbia. Mm. Soccer moms and, mm-hmm. and guys that run the dealership down the road, and all of a sudden they're addicted to opiates. And mm-hmm. So there's a lot of those kind of addictions, and those impact children, just like my dad's alcoholism impacted sure. me. Mm-hmm. And then the big one, codependency, the one nobody can define, right? Mm-hmm. Unhealthy other-centeredness is what I call it.
Say it again.
Unhealthy other-centeredness. See, there's a biblical other-centeredness. Giving sacrificial love, service mm-hmm. to others, all those kind of things that we're taught. The unhealthy part is I cease to exist in order to make your life better. Mm-hmm. It's not giving from an abundance, right? God fills my cup so I can fill your cup. Mm-hmm. It's giving from an empty place mm-hmm. because my identity, and in psychology they call it mirroring, my identity becomes your happiness, which is based on my ability to perform. Mm-hmm.
One comes from a healed heart, a heart that is pure and holy, and then the other one is a wounded heart.
Right.
But you're still trying to accomplish the same things, but the motives are all different.
Right, mm-hmm. which means the outcome's different, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Well, we're going to take a break at this point. We're going to hold you over for the final segment. I know we're just beginning to open up the book in these various areas. Hope this is going to be really beneficial for you and for your families, for your relationships. We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Don't go away. Welcome back. Wrapping up our conversation with author Greg Mayo in the book Unraveled: Roots for Men. 4 causes of damaging behaviors. And so you spoke a little bit about abandonment, addiction, abuse. I'm trying to say them slow because there's such, it's such difficult areas. You just can't go abandonment, addiction, abuse. You know, it's like slow down. I got that one. You know, it's like it's you can't just speed through it. Speaking about codependency, that was the last one you touched on. What was the phrase you used to define codependency again?
I call it unhealthy other-centeredness.
Unhealthy other-centeredness. There's good dependency.
Mm-hmm.
Dependency. So what would a good dependency look like instead of a codependency, which is negative?
So if we're talking about in childhood, mm-hmm. right, there's a parent with unhealthy expectations and needs of their children. And let's use an example. Let's say I've got a much, much younger sibling. And my job as a 16-year-old, and I'm just kind of mm-hmm. making this up, but is every day after school, I pick up my little brother from daycare. I bring him home. I make sure he has dinner. I do all these things. Now, helping out with the family is part of what we do because we're family.
Right.
Being thrust into that, now I've become what's called a surrogate father. Mm-hmm. That's not my job.
Right. And that's a burden.
Right. But I do it, and I do it because I'm codependent, because all I want is the approval and affection of my mom. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're dealing with abandonment too, so maybe dad's gone, and I'm trying to get the approval from her, because why? Abandonment leaves a big gaping hole. Mm-hmm. I don't care what the situation was, it's my fault if I'm the kid. I wasn't good enough, I was too this, not enough that, whatever the case. So now I've got abandonment, and I've got unhealthy expectations. The codependency also comes from not having healthy boundaries. Mm. Yeah. You learn healthy boundaries because your parents model them, or they don't. You right. know what I mean? And so if you have a healthy boundary, it's, hey, occasionally I need your assistance with something. My sons, for example, when they were growing up, they had their chores, sure. Extra stuff, me being a former carpenter, we're always doing something mm-hmm. to the house, right? I asked for their help. I didn't right. make them. Right. Unless I really, really need it. And mm-hmm. then I would be like, dude, I got to have it.
Yeah.
So, but I let them have the autonomy to say, yeah. you know what, I can't do that right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When they were in high school, I owned a construction business. All of them worked with me. Mm-hmm. And it was called Mayo and Sons. I assumed they all would. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what I named it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But they all chose different paths.
Sure.
And then so did I, yeah. obviously. 12 or 15 years ago. And so I didn't make them.
Yeah.
I didn't shame them or try mm-hmm. to control them right. because I respected their boundary. But then I also have mine. You know, dad, can you come and do whatever it is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't today.
Yeah,
I got stuff to do. What are you mm-hmm. doing? Fishing? Or this conversation, I'll tell you, right. this conversation actually happened. My son said, can we drop the kids off for the weekend? And I said, this weekend's kind of rough, buddy. Mm-hmm. We can take them tonight, yeah. but not tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you doing? Are you working? No, I'm going sailing. And there was this long pause on the phone, and he right. said, is sailing more important than spending? And I said, no, I want to spend all the time I can with the grandkids, but I plan this time for me.
Mm-hmm.
I need the peace of being on my sailboat for a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's a healthy boundary.
Yeah. Right.
A codependent dad would have said, yeah. oh, yeah, let me drop everything I need for my own health.
Right.
Right. So it's always been one of those words that people have trouble defining.
Yeah, gotcha.
People have written books trying to define it. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing something because you're going to get something back, if yeah. you're doing something because of some emotional benefit you get from them
yeah.
or some problem you avoid,
yeah.
then it's probably not healthy.
Greg, thank you so much for being with us today, and we're depending upon you to be here tomorrow. is it a healthy dependence because you got another show?
That's a real dependency.
It's Unraveled, Roots for Mend, Four Causes of Damaging Behavior. It's a really powerful book. It's been a joy for us to read it through, especially me, looking at these different categories and saying, you know, some of my wounds that hurt in any of these areas, by listening to the stories that are in there and Greg's unpacking each of these areas, it's been a real help for me and hopefully for you, especially for the men. So join us tomorrow. Greg will expound more fully. You can go to EWTNRC.com for the book, Unravel Roots for Men. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.